All right, 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. This Saturday, the president would have been in office for 100 days, and we are getting a report card on his performance in the first 100 from political parties. The DA weighing in on it. You heard from Musi Maimane, I think he used the word underwhelming, and he's reviewed Ramaphosa's first 100 days in office, saying it shouldn't be forgotten that he was part of former President Jacob Zuma's cabinet. I think we could elect anybody. And I think you can conclude that South Africans will feel much more optimistic just by virtue of where we were. But what we need to realize is that the view that Mr. Ramaphosa is suddenly angelic and has flown from somewhere is a miss, because he was the deputy president in Zuma's administration for a number of years and must account for things that took place during the president's reign. I'm going to invite Daniel Silk, who's an analyst on the political economy, to join me to appraise the president's 100 days in office. And I think the obvious question, Daniel Silk, in welcoming you to Power Talk this morning is why is the 100 days a benchmark for how a president is appraised? Is it about the signals he sets? And what are the standards against which we measure his performance?
Thanks, Simon. Good to be with you again. Look, the 100 days story to me is something of that we've borrowed, in a sense, from the United States. It really was the means with which voters in the United States, civil society, the media would judge U.S. presidents in every one of their four-year respective terms. So it's one of these strange Americanisms that crept into our political lexicon in South Africa. It's a nice round figure. It makes good copy for newspapers and magazines. We can discuss 100 days. But look, I think in the case of this particular instance, we have seen it's the context in which Ramaphosa came to power that adds, in a sense, to the 100 days. I think it was of great, of urgent import for Ramaphosa to put forward, at the very least, a wish list in terms of his State of the Nation address. And he had to begin a process of correcting the rot, or to use a Trump speak, draining the swamp, although I'm very nervous to use Donald Trump's metaphors here. But since we're in a U.S. Paradigm on 100 days, the swamp needed to be drained. And I think that Ramaphosa needed to give very fast indications of what he would do, how he would do it. And I think that's why the 100 days in this case is particularly important. We couldn't go on the way we were going. Issues relating to the state-owned enterprises needed to be tackled very, very quickly. An attempt to broaden the policy scope with a presidential economic advisory council needs to be addressed. The Guptas and corruption needed to be addressed quickly. And on the basis of that, the 100-day story really is a proxy for urgency of getting South Africa right, and that's probably why it's important in this context.
So, again, do we have to balance that? Because, you know, every president walks into an office of a particular context and oftentimes is meant to address or redress the performance of his predecessor. Now, in a context like this, where by many accounts the Zuma administration was dysfunctional and it had left some really serious structural and corruption-related issues in its wake, coupled or added to those in this triumvirate of problems is also the divisions inside the ANC. That these are simply, sheer cliff face issues that the president, this president, has had to deal with, and that to make a conclusion around his performance as an indicator of how we'll do in the future is to do him a disservice.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think that we can, simply take the wish list, the initiatives from the 100 days, and proclaim any great success or failure on them. To be perfectly honest, in all fairness to President Ramaphosa, this is a long-term turnaround strategy. I've always said it's the mother of all turnaround strategies, if frankly you can get this one right. And therefore, this what we've seen merely is an agenda, perhaps, for South Africa going forward. What are the points that you really have to tick off your agenda or begin to start addressing, and then, of course, redressing either dismal governance for the last decade or so, or redressing issues that have never really been tackled at all, even under, frankly, the Mandela or the Mbeki administrations. So that's what we have, in a sense. We have an agenda, and we can begin fleshing out, ultimately, many of the sub-points under the agenda. And I think that's the best that we could wish for. It's, frankly, better to have an agenda of this type than no agenda at all, or the wrong agenda. And I suppose if we are to give President Ramaphosa credit, it's getting the key points of the agenda correct, but whether he can deliver on them and whether there are certain areas of that agenda that have been underserved in terms of the debate over the last 100 days, that I suppose we can argue about.
I'm also wondering, Daniel Silk, about the tenets of evaluation, because it might be different depending on who you ask in South African society to define how they see the performance of the president. So the Democratic Alliance says his 100 days has been underwhelming. South Africans have expected more from the president. We remain stuck in a jobs crisis. Our country is not safe from crime, and our politicians continue to commit acts of corruption and nepotism. That was a statement from Musi Maimane. Others would point to things like the cabinet reshuffle, even though some elements remain in the cabinet who might have been less than desirable based on their past performance. But the NPA has gone ahead and in March announcing their decision to prosecute the president. There have been amendments around state capture, that Ramaphosa has made. What I'm really asking is, the story of his performance would be different depending on who you ask. So how do we come away with a fair and balanced appraisal in matching the different needs of South African society and how the president's responded to that?
Well, firstly, just in terms of the DA's criticism, look, it's the job of opposition to critique and to find fault, and I suppose the DA wouldn't be doing their job if they said everything was marvellous with the first 100 days. Why would one, frankly, want to vote for the DA if they were fully in support of the president? So I think they were doing their job and they were playing politics as opposition parties would do. The real problem for Ramaphosa ultimately is still, and it's, we've said it all before and we'll say it again, the real problem for him is largely his own political party. A, whether he has the political clout, given the narrow victory that he had, to really begin a process of turnaround within the ANC, and that therefore will delay any kind of adequate critique of whether he's succeeding or not, certainly in the short term. So there's the internal party dynamics that he has to get right. And B, of course, he has to set a policy framework, which is extraordinarily difficult given the type of organization that the ANC is, and given, of course, the difficulty to fine-tune, tweak, amalgamate different policy philosophies into new policy on the economic terrain going forward. That's going to delay any ability to evaluate the president. I mean, what would be nice, I suppose, after 100 days, just in sheer practical terms, would be to say, listen, we've reversed the rot of job losses, and we've created in the last 100 days 150,000 or 200,000 new jobs. Now, we haven't seen that, and that's not likely to come to fruition until a broad range of mechanisms are in place. When it comes to foreign direct investment, we've seen how our FDI into South Africa has literally fallen off a cliff over the last 10 years or so. But you're not going to turn that around. The emissaries are being sent out, the Trevor Manuels are being sent out to the Parises and the Washingtons and the Zurichs of this world. But they are going to have a tough job in selling South Africa and selling the new economic line of President Ramaphosa, whatever that might be. So, I think that evaluating this, there's a leap of faith, I suppose, for South Africans in initially providing Ramaphosa with a stamp of approval for the first 100 days, but the proof will be in the pudding over the medium term. And I have to say, from Ramaphosa's point of view, his big problem is that he faces an election within the next year or so. And within the next year, South Africans will be clamoring for more hard and fast and tangible answers. And that could put the timing of the next election as something awkward for the ANC to say, listen, Ramaphosa has been in power for a year now. What really are the differences? And the ANC will have to defend themselves if things take longer than they might hope.
17 minutes after 10 o'clock, Daniel Silk is my guest. Now, question to you, our listener, is how do you rate the president's performance in this, his 100 days, his first 100 days in office? So that's part of the question. The other part is that if you're suspending judgment on his performance, what would he have to do to secure an A-level pass in your mind? 0861-987-000. Mohera, you're in Midrand. Good morning.
Good morning, Iman.
Welcome.
Iman, look, the president was in the same camp with those that took this country to the dogs. All right. Now, when he was campaigning, he came strongly to the public to say he'll deal with corruption. But what we're seeing happening within the ANC is they're recycling the very same people who are implicated in this corruption. It's not doing anything about it. It's not charging those people or suspending them or taking them out of this cabinet. We see them moving them from one position to another. What is he saying that in essence to us is that these are politicians. They always come and promise people of something that they don't practice. I mean, I can mention names. I don't want to go there, you know, but we all see that people were strongly implicated in corruptions from their provinces, from government, from the state capture. And what happened to those people? They're ministers even to date. So to me, that's a failure. And I'm saying the very same captain who was there when this was happening, it is going to be difficult for him to deal with those people.
Okay. Mohire and Midrand, so I suppose the question out of that is to you, Daniel Silk, around how the president balances what Mohire was describing there as political expediency with really stamping his mark on his office. And people would add to that what's been happening in the Northwest. While the province has been placed under administration, following those protests around Supramahumapelo's resignation or wanting him to resign and all of the travails we see in the province, yet not removing him from that position, how does he balance political expediency and stamping his authority on his job?
Well, I suppose that is the difficult question. And for Ramaphosa, as I've already indicated, his victory in December of last year was narrow, and he has to work with any number of individuals in a very senior capacity within the ANC who were certainly not his praisingers and, in fact, campaigned against him. It's an awkward position for Ramaphosa to be in. And on the basis of that, I suppose what we are seeing is a sort of an incremental shift within the higher levels of government. I take the point of your caller, and I have to say I've been accused in the past on radio talk shows of being an apologist for the DA. Let me just say that I understand fully the more incremental approach from Ramaphosa. You can't get your own wish list entirely enacted given the more precarious state that you might be in yourself within the ANC. And therefore, you do what you can. And when you look at the cabinet reshuffle that we did have a couple of months ago, we had a substantial cabinet reshuffle. Yes, there was what I would refer to as dead wood from the Jacob Zuma era that survived. But I think that was part of this incremental approach to beginning to shift the narrative and beginning to shift the type of individuals that will not only be in the executive, but clearly also be in the provinces and, for that matter, also be in the bureaucracy as well. And it's going to be a softly approach in some instances. It's going to be more hard-lined in other instances. And we've seen a hard-lined approach when it comes to the Tom Oyani issue, for example. So Ramaphosa will choose his battles. There will be low-hanging fruit and there'll be high-hanging fruit. And his acumen, I suppose, is going to be tested in terms of what he can really attack in terms of cleaning out the rot and what may have to be on the back burner until conditions change. And the real change of conditions for me, for Ramaphosa, would be if he can steer the ANC towards a relatively successful election victory next year, because I think that will give him the strength that he needs to act perhaps even in a more bolder fashion. And we'll perhaps pacify your caller to a greater extent.
22 after 10, Daniel Silk is my guest. We're evaluating the president's performance as we come up to the 100-day mark. We've had a review from the DA and Musi Maimane. I've shared that with you. But I'm interested in your thoughts. How do you rate the president's performance? Is it too soon to do a rating? As Daniel is saying, we're borrowing from an international standard or an international way of evaluating the U.S. way of evaluating a president's performance in the signals he sends out in the first 100 days. What would Cyril Ramaphosa have to do to get an A pass from you if he hasn't already? Lucas, you're in the Pretoria CBD. Good morning.
Good morning, Iman. I just wanted to clarify something, and I'm sure anybody who was in the ANC will understand and agree with me. You know, these people who are saying Cyril is complicit in the whole thing that Zuma was doing, they are wrong. You know, I don't know if people remember that Thabo Mbeki was the only deputy president in the ANC that was powerful during Mandela's era. So if Cyril tried to talk against corruption from 2012 when he was elected in Mangaung, these guys would have made sure that it doesn't see light of the, at the end of the tunnel in Nazareth, because they would have said, hey, this guy is going to make sure that we get arrested. So he had to play careful, knowing that towards the end, I'm basically going to show that I'm interested in this thing and I'll deal with corruption. That's why if you realize towards the end of his campaign, that's when he started talking about issues of the families, you know, feasting on South Africa's GDP and everything. So people must not say, the man is not stupid. And look at, from the 100 days, he was able to remove Zuma from the office, which was very difficult compared to when Zuma removed Mbeki. So people must appreciate what the man has done against the circumstances. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucas. Monty J on Twitter says, I think so far he's done well. The fact that he was able to remove a stubborn JZ from the presidency, it wasn't easy, but he did it. Does he take all the credit for that? Tools, Ramaphosa is a failure and an overrated media darling. He's done nothing to convince me otherwise. Different points of view there. Navari's in Mbombela in Mpumalanga. Good morning.
Good morning, my queen. How are you?
And I'm good. Welcome.
No, look, I think that South Africans are quite unfair to Cyril. I think decisively he has done tremendously very well in terms of stabilizing the public perceptions and his posture and anti-corruption drive. But secondly to that is that he had actually inherited a rod that ran for almost 10 years. And I think if you want him to act like a movie star, not to choose his battle carefully, he will actually collapse before he do what he's supposed to do in the office. So I think that the president has carefully chosen his battles and is tactfully dealing with them very smoothly and meticulously. And I think that I can give him 10 out of 10 from where we come from. That this country now seems to have a light that we're going to see at the end of the tunnel. Corruption is actually being tackled. Safe to say that the party itself is very congested. There's still a lot of factions that are still destabilizing his move, and there's no total control of some of the things that are happening in the party, for instance, the Umapilus issue. That is more of the ANC issue than Ramaphosa's issue. That's why he had to intervene in the level of government, where you could say, no, on the basis of this challenge that the party can't deal with its own deployee, I, as the president of the state, I'm going to put section 100 there, 100 there to deal with the issue of corruption administration. So he removed that power of Umapilus there, but at least the ANC must deal with its own problems. Okay. People want to have to vote it back to power. But I think that 10 out of 10, Imani, I think the president is doing very well, and I think we're still going to see more on him.
Navari, thank you for that. The first distinction I've heard all morning, Daniel Sulk, but he's also making a separation there of Cyril's abilities inside the ANC. Can we separate the ANC and the president right now?
I think it's very difficult to separate, the two, and I wouldn't critique the president on, the way he's handling his own instabilities and that of the ANC. I think it falls largely within the ambit of a careful approach, a watchful eye, and indeed, as I've said, finding the low-hanging fruit and the higher-hanging fruit and dealing with it adequately. I just want to make another distinction in a sense that, and your previous caller has been, in full praise of the president and given him a 10 out of 10 ranking. I'd like to give the president myself a 10 out of 10 ranking, but where I think there's been a major issue, certainly for me, and I can only speak in my humble opinion, is on the issue of this much-vaunted social compact that the president played up, of course, in his State of the Nation address. The idea of bringing all South Africans together to attempt to flesh out solutions for the country's problems. Now, I think that if there's anything to really to critique him about, it's on an inability to get a grasp of that social compact. And in fact, I would argue, and it's something you can discuss with your callers after I leave the radio station, I'm not convinced that a lot of South Africans necessarily feel better 100 days into the presidency as a result of what I regard as a fairly polarizing political narrative that has a fair degree of racial invective attached to it as well. And I don't think the president has been able to really grapple with that. I don't think he's grasped that. And I don't think he's provided sufficient leadership on that as well. So I think that whilst the issues of corruption, absolutely, on the issue of the Guptas, the optics of Zuma in court, the cabinet reshuffle, I think these have been very positive. On that basis, one would give him very close to a 10 out of 10, to be perfectly honest, from my side. It's that social compact side of the equation that is so critical to establishing trust between all groups in South Africa. I'm not convinced we've seen enough action on that, and that would bring down my score for the president.
All right, so many callers holding on. Let's get straight back into it. Lennox is in Centurion. Hi, Lennox. Line 10.
Good show as ever.
It's a pleasure.
My sister, I want to start by declaring that I have a great deal of confidence to the current president. If we were to rate him from 0 to 10, I would give him 12. You see, the current narrative is definitely different from the narrative we had in the previous years. In the previous years, the narrative really equated government of the new dispensation as something closer or corrupt government, government that was so detached from the people, a government that was the shadow of former self. But today, the fact that we're having a program of this nature where you are getting a balanced perception about the government, it shows you the government is doing something. And I don't want to belittle people's perception about the current problems.
Mm.
But you see, I wish people can understand you have various institutions in the society, starting from home. The way you deal with anomic behaviors at home is different from the way you will deal and the speed of which you will deal with those things from the way you will deal with things in churches, the way you will deal with things in schools,
all right,
the way you will deal. So I feel let us be patient because already we are seeing the signs,
okay,
and we can see the arrow is pointing at the better life for all. I think I'm over-optimistic.
All right.
I don't expect people to see things from my perspective.
Thank All right. Lennox is going further, 12 out of 10. A lot of callers holding on, and I can see some 2 out of 100s, 3 out of 100s, 4 out of 100s. So I want to hear why. Let's pop by and get you Power News headlines and traffic, and I'll come straight back to your calls.